My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman and Dr. Michael C. Burgess, who represents the Lone Star State's 26th Congressional District. He is also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, as well as its Health Subcommittee. And on Tuesday, that Health Subcommittee voted to repeal what's known as the CLASS Act. It was a major part of the president's health care plan, which earlier this year, the president and his Health and Human Services Department decided to abandon because it was simply not going to be cost effective. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Glad to be with you.
Real quickly, brief our listeners or refresh their memories on what the CLASS Act is.
Well, the CLASS Act is misrepresented as providing long-term care insurance to people through the federal government. In fact, what it was an optional premium that could be paid to provide additional services for people who were covered under the Medicaid program for long-term care. The problem was it was not fiscally sustainable. The actuary at the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services in May of 2009 said this thing is not going to ever cash flow under the design that's been put forward. But where it was useful, since it required 5 years of premiums to be paid before you could collect your first benefit, where it was useful over a 10-year budget window was 10 years of premiums, 5 years of benefits, so it obviously scored as a saver and allowed the Health Care Act to come in under $1 trillion because this thing offset $80 billion of other spending. So it was a budgetary gimmick right from the start. It was never really intended to help people, and really it was, I think it is a good thing that the Secretary decided not to pursue it, and just to be sure, now the House has, or at the committee level, we have repealed it, and we should do so in the whole House before the end of the year.
And this administration, as we've both mentioned now, has decided not to move forward on this, but at the same time, they're opposed to repealing it. Has there been any explanation as to why that's the case?
Well, it actually is a little dangerous to leave it unrepealed and in law, because at some point in the future, someone could decide that they wanted to reengage this. And again, the structure was such that it was never going to be actuarially sound. It was never going to be able to pay for itself as it was supposed to do. So I think it was a mistake. It needs to be taken off the books. Look, if there's something we need to do in the arena of long-term care, then for heaven's sakes, let's do so. But let's do so in a rational and straightforward method. This thing was dropped on us at 11 o'clock at night on the 30th of July, 2009, as the House was marking up the health care bill. It had not been vetted through any hearings. It had not had a committee mark up as an individual bill. It was just something that was dropped in at the last minute. It was placeholder language, and again, it was done as a budgetary gimmick to try to make the health care bill cash flow.
So do you think that by opposing the repeal that they actually hope to resurrect this at some point, or is it just a matter of not wanting to agree that a major part of this health care bill was a failure?
Well, part of it's not wanting to admit to a mistake, because obviously the thing's up before the Supreme Court, and any wavering may be seen as a sign of weakness. But honestly, there's a danger in leaving it. At some point in the future, some group could sue the federal government and say, you know, you have this thing you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it. It's written into law, signed into law in March of 2010. Let's not take that chance. Let's get it off the books. And the other thing is the private side. I have long-term care insurance through a private carrier. Private companies are not going to be looking at investing in these types of products all of the time. There's a law on the books that says the federal government is going to take this over. That is, there's a real downside to leaving it in that it stifles the marketplace. And further, it tells people that, hey, you don't have to worry about long-term care insurance because the federal government's going to take care of it at some point. They've already got the law on the books. They're just trying to figure out how to pay for it. So it's dangerous at multiple levels to leave this thing intact.
Well, let's talk about a couple other things in our remaining couple of minutes here, Congressman. You touched on a little bit how you have long-term care insurance in the private sector and how you felt that was a good decision for you and your family. Do you feel that the way it's currently set up in the private sector is adequate, or does something need to be done to address it?
We could certainly do things to make it easier for individuals and families to purchase long-term care insurance. I did so several years before I ran for Congress because my mother told me it was a good idea. And it is. You do want to, you know, I can think of no more loving gift for a parent to provide their children than the fact that, hey, at some point in the future comes some damage to my health, I'm not going to be dependent upon my children to take care of my needs. I've already seen to that. And I think more people, if they thought about it, would incorporate this as part of normal, prudent life planning, normal, prudent financial planning. Now, we make it hard on people because you've got to pay for long-term care insurance with after-tax dollars. And as a consequence, we make it more expensive. We should allow for deductibility of those premiums. We should allow for incorporation into a health savings account for those premiums. Right now, we have not done, the Congress has not done the kinds of things it could to facilitate. On the other hand, we have done some other things that do make it more straightforward for the purchase of private long-term care insurance. And I also recognize that's not going to be the entire answer. And, of course, the social safety net of Medicaid for long-term care coverage will still remain intact. This does nothing to do away with the existing structure of long-term care coverage under the Medicaid program. But unfortunately, what the Affordable Care Act does is vastly expand the Medicaid populations so that it just threatens the entire financial solvency of the entire Medicaid program, which is, after all, where the safety net long-term care insurance resides right now.
Last question before we let you go, Congressman. You mentioned before how the CLASS Act was initially designed to be seen as a way to reduce the cost to taxpayers, at least over the first 10-year window of the rest of the comprehensive health care reform. And with this now off the books, with this mathematical equation out of the way, what does it now look like over the first 10 years?
Well, you have to add, according to the Congressional Budget Office, you have to add $80 billion to the cost of the health care law. So the president, who said at one point it's going to actually save money, you know, this is one more strike against that statement. But we all knew that statement was inoperative the day it was first uttered. Congressional Budget Office has now said it will not cost anything to repeal the CLASS Act, and that's one of the reasons why I think we ought to take advantage of the situation as it exists today. In 2 or 3 years' time, someone might assign a cost to the repeal, and that just makes it inherently more difficult to get it done. All the stars are aligned right now for us to get this thing off the books, and then if we want to talk about real reform, we can do so.
Real quickly, Democrats on the committee, are they going along with this or no?
No, they're livid. This passed on a voice vote today through subcommittee, and it will come to the full committee probably the week after Thanksgiving. We'll just have to see what happens then. I suspect there'll be a great deal more fireworks when that happens.
We'll keep following it. Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, Craig, thank you. Bye-bye.
Texas Republican Congressman and Dr. Michael Burgess represents his state's 26th Congressional District, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee and its Health Subcommittee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.